Hey there, everybody. Welcome to not just the Lucha Underground audio review, but the ProWrestling.net free daily podcast. That's right. We're doing a 2-for-1 today. Why? Well, a number of scheduling issues involving Jake Barnett and myself recovering from WrestleMania weekend, and also because we haven't done a Lucha Underground TV review on the All Access side for a little while, so we thought we'd show you guys a little bit of what you're missing in this show. This is Will Pruitt, and before we get started talking about the overall show on Lucha Underground, I wanted to make sure you guys knew, soon, running out, time is definitely running out on getting the $2 price for a month of ProWrestling.net membership. If you want to enjoy the full array of our WrestleMania content, including Jason Powell, Jake Barnett, and I talking about the show for a long, long time on Sunday night, Zim and Jason sitting down after NXT TakeOver Dallas, and all of the audio we've done this week as well, you can get a month of ProWrestling.net membership for $2. Just use the coupon code WM32A when you sign up, or if you want to get a discount on the six-month rate, save $10.01. Use the code WrestleMania32B, or the big one, if you want to get that annual membership, if you want ProWrestling.net membership for a year, you want to be covered through next year's WrestleMania, use the code WM32C and pay just $49.99 for a year of membership, which is about $16 and, of course, 1 cent less than our normal annual rate. We would love for you guys to become members and to check out what we offer on the member side. We think the work is great. We've broken records with this membership sale, and we want to make sure it gets out to as many folks as possible before it's over. So tell your friends, tell everybody, get that ProWrestling.net membership. Now, on with the Lucha Underground TV review. This continued to not be my favorite thing. Lucha Underground, one of the things that really hooked me into the show was match quality. One of the things that hooked me into the show was interesting storytelling. And right now, it feels like the storytelling is causing the match quality to decrease. And that really upsets me. I am mainly talking about Matanza. He is the Lucha Underground champion. He was introduced about 2 weeks ago in Aztec Warfare. And right now, Matanza is having main event matches with top Lucha Underground stars. Really, the two most popular stars in Lucha Underground this season have probably been Pentagon Jr. and Phoenix. And last week, he put the squash on Pentagon Jr. This week, he put the squash on Phoenix. And gonna be honest, I'm not particularly compelled by Matanza running through everyone. I also don't think this is great storytelling. So here's an issue I have with this. We have spent months hearing, or months investing in the journeys of Pentagon Jr., of Phoenix, of all of these wrestlers. And what are we seeing? We're seeing Matanza tear through them. What does this do for those characters? How does this help build them? How does this help anyone other than Matanza? I don't think it's the right thing to take the top half of your roster and have all of it lose to the monster Matanza. And they did that in Aztec Warfare, and they seem to be doing that again now in the post-Aztec Warfare push of Matanza. And I think it's a storytelling mistake. I think Lucha Underground, not being a traditional wrestling show, is going to decide against pivoting away from it, which I also do believe is a mistake. I think not that Matanza should lose instantly, but I would love to see Matanza not be this invincible monster that he is. And I know that is difficult for people. I know right now that's just the story they're telling. So that basically explains it. I don't like the story they're currently telling with Matanza, and it colors the show in a depressing way for me. But let's move on. I'm going to go through the show in order. If you want to follow along with me, head over to ProWrestling.net. John Moore does an excellent job in his live coverage of these shows, and you can read everything that happened. I use his reviews as an outline, and if his jokes are better than mine, I end up stealing them anyways. So, previously on Lucha Underground, Hey, did you know Joey Ryan was an undercover cop? That's a weird thing happening this season, too. Marty the Moth has been torturing Sexy Star, and Matanza straight up killed Pentagon Jr. through a table. Now, we open the show with Ian Hodgkinson slash Vampiro at the sink in the bathroom. I thought he might ram his head into a mirror again, but he's not about it. Dario Cueto walks up, and Vampiro's got pills in his hands. Those are obviously his antipsychotic, keep-from-being-violent pills. And Dario said that Vampiro might want to bash his head in and look for his brother. Vamp said, not just part, all of me does, actually. That's something I'm soups into. And Dario basically said, don't do it. My brother's going to kill everyone if you do. Dario said Vampiro is lucky Pentagon Jr. is still alive and that Vampiro may not be so lucky next time. Vampiro looked like he might hit Dario, and Dario said, I need you out there calling the matches. You're practically the boss of Lucha Underground. Don't make the same mistake as Pentagon. Vampiro looked conflicted and took his pills. Yeah, I liked that. I mean, like I said, I'm not a big fan of what they're doing with Matanza, but I thought this was a compelling segment. Dario may be the redeeming thing about Matanza. Dario may be the only thing that makes Matanza really work, because I don't think he looks the part. Again, Matanza looking shorter than a bunch of folk in the ring, not really the best thing. Then we go into the police station. I believe that's actually LAPD headquarters that they showed on the TV screen. And Officer Reyes, who is I believe Cortez Castro. That's which one of the crew members he is, not Mr. Cisco. Yeah. And Joey Ryan are talking with Captain Vasquez. She thanked Ryan for discovering Cueto, and Reyes said Ryan didn't do anything. Dario just came back, and they talked about how they got a spot in the Trios tournament, and Officer Reyes wants them to win that Trios tournament, or Captain Vasquez wants them to win that Trios tournament because that'll get them closer to El Jefe. Vasquez sent them along and put Dario's picture on the bulletin board and said, gotcha, or something like that. The undercover cop story, I'm open to where it's going, but again, not the most compelling story in this universe, not really the best thing, and revisiting it on a monthly basis, like it seems we're doing, is just kind of strange. We had the commentators check in. They ran down what the main events are going to be. Phoenix versus Matanza. We're starting the Trios tournament, and first up, we're going to get Ivelisse versus Cobra Moon. Not a great match here. Ivelisse beat Cobra Moon in 7 minutes, and it surprised me that it went that long. Matches going 7 minutes in Lucha Underground is actually kind of rare. Like, we don't get a ton of long matches on this show, and that was long by Lucha Underground standards, especially for the women. Ivelisse got the win after a sunset flip powerbomb, a good match by Cobra Moon standards. Ivelisse can do a lot. She's very, very good. I like this. It was interesting to me. They said we're starting a Trios tournament. It seems like we're not getting the Trios champions in the Trios tournament, if I've read this situation correctly. So maybe the trio that wins the Trios tournament gets a shot at the Trios champions. I'm not sure. But Ivelisse defeated Cobra Moon in 7 minutes. It was the first loss for Cobra Moon. Ivelisse seems to be the dominant female in Lucha Underground. There's a case to be made as well for Sexy Star. But yeah, a decent match. Then we got a Killshot vignette. And Killshot, well, he got his name because he was a sniper in the army. Because that was his nickname, what with all the kills. And he was an ex-Marine. He's good with a gun, killer instinct. He said he's Killshot because he's a sniper. 37 kills, and they were all bad guys. He said he was good with his hands, so he fought on the field too. His team was captured. He was imprisoned for 13 months, and then he escaped. He rebelled against his captors, and he killed a bunch of terrorists, and he kept He just kept coming back and fighting to come back to the U.S., and the government says they never existed. Honestly, watching this, I thought, you know what would have been a great way to market the Killshot character? Produce an entire season of Serial about the Killshot character's backstory. I want Sarah Koenig looking into this. I want her getting intense about it. I want her talking to people on the ground. I want her interviewing the terrorists that captured Killshot. I want her interviewing everyone but Killshot himself. Yeah. What? You guys aren't into that? You don't want to listen to, like, 13 hours of Killshot? Yeah, this was fine. I like the way Lucha Underground does these vignettes to flesh out characters. It's worked for Phoenix for me. It worked for Killshot to an extent. Not my favorite wrestler in Lucha Underground, but he's fine. He is who he is. Famous B walked into the weight room where Masquerita Sagrada was working out. Famous B wants Masquerita Sagrada to call him at 423 Get Fame. And then we see a slick single shot transition into Mac and Sexy Star. As Famous B is walking away, we see Mac walk in and talk to Sexy Star, who's working out on the other side of the weight room. She's doing deadlifts. Mac asks Sexy Star for moral support because, you see, Mac has been placed in a trios team with Marty the Moth and Mariposa. And Sexy Star's like, heck no, Techno, we're not doing that. And, well, Willie Mac goes, hey, they got to pay for what they did to you at some point, and says he hopes Sexy Star is there to collect. Sexy Star then looks super upset. She's curling what she was deadlifting before, which is a lot of weight, and is having some PTSD-style flashbacks about Mariposa and the Moth. Yeah, this was fine. Not my favorite, but it was fine. Cortez Castro, Mr. Cisco, and Joey Ryan versus Marty the Moth, Mariposa, and the Mac was up next. And this was a fun six-person tag match. We saw Joey Ryan and the crew beat the Mac, Mariposa, and the Moth in 8 minutes and 31 seconds. Why? Well, the Mac was very impressive, but his tag team partners weren't into everything he was doing. So they would often blind tag him, knock him out, and there was a moment where the Mac seemed to have the match won. Marty the Moth tagged him, and Marty the Moth and the Mac started fighting. By the end of that fight, the Mac delivered a stunner to Marty the Moth. That allowed the crew to hit the Chaos Realm, and then Joey Ryan pinned the Moth. Fine match. This was a fun storytelling thing. After the match, we saw Joey Ryan and the crew leave. Mariposa then started going after the Mac. Mariposa's attacking the Mac. Sexy Star runs in for the save, confronts Mariposa, is kind of afraid a little bit. She's timid. And then she just loses her ish all over Mariposa. Sexy Star suddenly strong, suddenly ready to fight. And this was fun. This was some really fun storytelling with the two teams. This was, I thought the post-match angle with Mariposa and Sexy Star was very good. I'm intrigued to see where Sexy Star goes. I want to see her now in the ring in matches against Mariposa. I want to see how that goes. And I'm really, really interested in this. It was fine. Dragon Azteca Jr. is on a roof. I've noticed this about Dragon Azteca Jr. When he feels feelings, man, he goes up to the roof. He's just like, man, I gotta sit up here. I gotta reflect on my life. Now, one interesting thing on the roof of the temple, the question mark is back. The question mark had left for most of the season. It was just the Lucha Underground sign, but in this segment, the question mark was back. I want to say it's a mistake. I got told on Twitter when I said, oh, the question mark's on. They must be using old footage. I got told on Twitter by Krista Joseph, who is one of the executive producers for Lucha Underground, that no, it's supposed to be that way. Now, this was before. Now, he hasn't responded to me saying the question mark is back and wondering if that's a mistake, but whatevs. I'm cool with literally whatever here. That's not the point of this. So Rey Mysterio Jr. looks like Batman, comes up to feeling Dragon Azteca. Rey says he knows what Azteca's thinking. Azteca Jr. said that the monster killed his teacher. Rey said it was time for Azteca Jr. to kill him. Let's get that murder, yo. Rey said it was also a reality that Dragon Azteca got his ass kicked by him at Aztec Warfare. Rey said that Azteca has got to fight for their tribe. He still has a lot to learn. Rey told Azteca to fight for honor, not revenge, and said they're signed up for the Trios tournament. They saw the piece of paper on the door of Dario Cueto's office, and I'm guessing they wrote their names in. And he said Dragon Azteca wondered who their partner was, and Prince Puma walks up and says, "Me." And I'm like, whoa, Prince Puma can talk? That's crazy town. Prince Puma has words. He has words that come out of his mouth. I thought Conan was the only one who could talk for him. Puma has stood mute for so long. But no. Prince Puma has a voice, and it sounds suspiciously like Ricochet. Rey said he discovered Prince Puma on the streets just like Dragon Azteca found Dragon Azteca Jr. And I'm like, wow. Were Rey and Conan just chilling in Boyle Heights one day? And this kid in a Puma mask fights pretty well. Why are we at a street fight? Don't know, man. Super high. That's how I imagine that exchange between Conan and Mysterio went, only with the word boom added in at some point. Well, Puma said, damn right we do, about facing them as a team. And I thought that was fine. That's going to be a sweet, sweet trios team. The three of them is... The three of them should be really, really fun. Dragon Azteca Jr. looked really impressive when it came to high-flying and just fast offense in Aztec Warfare. I'm interested to see how he fleshes that out throughout the Trios tournament and more matches that we see him in. So Matanza and Phoenix then made their entrances. Yeah. I just don't know how good I feel about this. Matanza no-selling a lot of offense, getting a lot of offense in on Phoenix, and eventually killing Phoenix with the Wrath of the Gods Power Slam to earn the victory. Then we saw Matanza beat up on Phoenix in the ring, keep beating up on him, until Katrina appears at the top of the stairs and says, stop, basically. And then Mil Muertes comes through the entryway on the opposite side of the temple and chases Matanza out of the ring. Dario Cueto leads Matanza to the back, holding up the key. Muertes glared at Phoenix for a second, and that's how we close out Lucha Underground. Yeah, that's it. I didn't dig the main event all that much. I think Matanza is miscast. I think he's not exactly compelling in his role, and I think it is ultimately hurting Lucha Underground. I am intrigued by Mil Muertes versus Matanza, but I worry that Mil Muertes versus Matanza is going to end up just being Mil Muertes getting killed by Matanza, which I really, really, really do not want to see. That deeply concerns me. I do not like it. Do not like it one bit. So that's it for this week, guys. That is the ProWrestling.net free daily podcast. If you like our content, please rate us, review us on iTunes, say nice things about us, stuff like that. Make sure you're visiting ProWrestling.net daily for your wrestling news fix, and take advantage of that ProWrestling.net membership sale. Again, ad-free access to the site, access to all of our WrestleMania weekend content, access to the .net weekly audio show, which often breaks first-run news that you're not going to hear anywhere else. My goodness, are you going to get a lot of content for your $2 if you sign up now? Check it out, guys. It's $2. What do you got to lose? Anyways, thank you, everybody, for listening, and have the most fantastic week.